A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. One of the things I've discovered over the last 20 years or so is that not all the best theologians are the most famous theologians. Sometimes they're like hidden treasures, especially in history. You won't read about them in books of theological history. They may just be a footnote if they're mentioned at all, but some of the very best are worth finding again and reading again. And one of those is a theologian from the 20th century, Swedish Lutheran theologian, Bo Hjertz. Most people know him from his novel called The Hammer of God, but there's more to Bo Hjertz than just that novel, much more indeed. Joining us to talk about the teachings and the writings of this 20th century Swedish Lutheran theologian, Bo Hjertz, Pastor Bror Eriksson. He's pastor of First Lutheran in Thule, Utah, and he's author of the new book, Then Fell the Lord's Fire, New Life in Ministry. Pastor Eriksson, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Why should pastors today, lay people today in the 21st century, be reading this 20th century Swedish Lutheran bishop?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, the short answer is he's a genius. He was a genius. He exuded pastoral care. That was all he was. He was just a pastor that knew Scripture very well, knew law and gospel, knew how to apply it, knew how to, you know, distinguish it. So, like these sermons that I'm writing, or that I translated, these ordination sermons in Then Fell the Lord's Fire, they're just chock full of law and gospel for the pastor. You know, pastors today are burning out so often, and here he's preaching to these guys that are coming into the office, but he's also preaching to his whole cadre, because he was a bishop of the diocese in Gothenburg. And he's preaching to his whole cadre of pastors that are under his supervision. And he's giving them law and gospel, giving them the gifts of God, and bringing them, you know, saying, you know what, guys? It's a tough world out there. Here's our job, and here's what God says to you. Here's how you failed, and here is God working through you anyway. Now go and do it. And it's just brilliant stuff. So that's why I think pastors and laymen should be reading Bo Hjertz these days.
Give us a brief biography. Who was Bo Hjertz?
Yeah, Bo Hjertz, I mean, he's known as the author of The Hammer of God, but the novel, it's used in seminary classes and college classes to give an introduction to Lutheranism and so on. He was a bishop in Gothenburg. He was born in Öland, which is an island off the coast of Sweden, where his father was a surgeon. He came from very much an aristocratic family. His father ended up being a surgeon to the Queen of Sweden while she was convalescing in Italy. You know, Bo Hjertz got to see her at that time. And she says, I understand you want to be a pastor. And his father was kind of upset with him. Not too much upset, but his father was a little upset because he had always had dreams that Bo Hjertz would be a surgeon. Bo Hjertz would watch his father in surgery in high school and then do the notes in Latin in the book. it was quite a character. You know, the Queen, she calls an audience and says, "You sure you don't want to be a professor or something like that?" And he says, "No, I want to be a pastor." And she says, "Well, then promise me that you will be a true pastor." She was a very religious person herself and so on. So, and that's all he ever wanted to be. He became a pastor, you know, shortly after World War I. He He was born in 1905. He becomes a pastor during his time in Torpo. I mean, this guy is just incredibly pastoral in everything he does, but he starts writing at that point. Wrote The Hammer of God after he had written a couple other more dogmatic books like Christ Church, which you can find in English now, and Christian Piety. He writes The Hammer of God to put it into reality, and that book actually ended up making him a bishop of Gothenburg. The people loved his books so much that he was actually a co-pastor. He was an assistant pastor. You know, unheard of. And he's 43 years old, and they call him to be Bishop of Gothenburg, which is quite a prestigious diocese to have. I mean, it wasn't just any diocese. You know, for the next 30, 40 years, he was Bishop of Gothenburg. 10 years before they ordained women in Sweden, he was the lone holdout on that issue. He refused to ordain any women in his diocese, really led the fight and all of that, was very faithful to Scripture. Just, you know, he was not going to back down. When he thought that this was a scriptural thing to do, he would not back down from it. So, yeah, he was bishop up until 1970. Then he went into retirement, and he wrote even more. He had somewhere around 600 titles under his belt by the time he died in 1995, I believe it was.
You say that his time as a bishop was not easy, and you mentioned at least one of the challenges there. What other kind of challenges did he face?
Yeah, he faced the same challenges that many of us face today in our own parishes, in our own culture. I mean, our culture hasn't changed a whole lot in its estimation of Christianity since he was bishop. You know, the culture, you know, it wasn't one that was going to church much anymore, had a lot of atheistic views, hostile towards Christianity, people more or less ambivalent to Christianity and so on. And he spent his whole life trying to combat that trend. In fact, early on when he first became ordained, he tried to go and hold debates in every high school in Sweden within a year with people, just presenting the Christian doctrine to high schoolers throughout Sweden. I think that was one of the biggest ones. You had a trend towards socialism at that time. He really worked hard to keep the Christian faith alive in an increasingly secular society. And, that comes out in his writings, especially, you know, these sermons that he gives to the candidates being ordained into the pastoral office, you know, kind of giving them a heads up as to, you know, what's ahead, and yet comforting them with the gospel and letting them know, you know, it doesn't always look like God's working, but he is. Then Fell the Lord's Fire is that's the title of his first sermon in that book, and it comes from 1 Kings 18:38. It's the sermon that he wrote 1952 to his people, and it kind of, I think it summarizes really where he was at, sort of and where a lot of pastors find themselves these days, feeling abandoned, like maybe there's just no sense to it all anymore. And he goes through and then he shows, you know, how God worked through Elijah and how we see it today, and maybe the church isn't always full, but you know, we can take great joy when we see a couple people coming back, and you see them coming to communion finally, and they keep coming back, and to find joy there, because that's where God is working.
Pastor Erickson, one of the images that Bishop Yeerts has for the pastors as he's preaching their ordination sermons is of the pastor as an instrument in God's hands. And so he says, you know, if you're in God's hands, you're not going to be able to escape the twisting and the tearing, the abuse that an instrument, a tool often takes. Why does he emphasize so strongly suffering in the pastoral office?
Well, in Bo Geertz's day in Sweden, you know, he talks about this in other essays and so on. the pastoral office could really be a cushy job if you wanted it to be. Still is today. It was a government position. Got paid well. And if you just wanted to go along with the flow, you could get a lot of people to like you and so on. But the minute you start preaching God's word, you cause controversy. The gospel brings with it retaliation. It's not always received happily. He preaches on that. He talks about that so much because he knows that that's part of it. He experienced it himself. He was known as the Kvino Christ Motstorindera, or the woman priest opponent. Every newspaper article that was written about him from 1959 on had that after his name. The woman priest opponent. That's what he was known for. And he hated it, you know, because it's not the gospel. You know, women can't be pastors. It's not the gospel. And he preached the gospel. He was so warm-hearted, but he held to it. He held fast to that because he knew that the gospel was at stake there. So he sees it. He experiences it in his own life. And he knows that the pastors in his diocese who are wanting to remain faithful are going to experience it also. And that you have to prepare for that because a lot of guys just aren't prepared for that. I think a lot of times people go into the ministry, they love their pastor so much. You know, they see that, they're inspired by that, and it's a great thing to have people like that. And then they want to go into the ministry. And they get into the ministry, and they find out not everybody loves their pastor the same way. And it causes for a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety in life, or at least it can.
Well, let's take a break right here, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on this Monday afternoon, December the 3rd, talking about the teachings and writings of 20th century Swedish Lutheran theologian Bo Geertz. When we come back, you could have called him a prophet, the way he wrote in the 20th century about things that we still face here in the 21st. Stay tuned.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means and grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of Issues, Etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Schola Cantorum of St. Peter in the Loop with Lo He Comes with Clouds Descending, part of the Advent sound that the church sings out, and you can hear it for yourself at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. It's the church's music according to the church's calendar, 24/7 and 365 days a year, absolutely free for you to listen to anytime at LutheranPublicRadio.org. On this Monday afternoon, December the 3rd, for the next 10 minutes of the program, we're talking about the teachings and writings of 20th century Swedish Lutheran theologian Bo Giertz. Pastor Bror Eriksson is our guest. One of the things that strikes me in reading the sermons of Bishop Giertz is that he's positively prescient. He's a prophet. He writes about a religiosity that wants to be Christian without being churchly. He could have written that today.
Yes, prescient is a word. And I think partly, too, maybe sometimes, you know, I look at Sweden and I think, you know, everything that we're dealing with, they've had to deal with before us. They seem to be in a race for modernization over there sometimes. You know, so Bo Giertz, you know, he saw it. So he writes to that. But then God's word also is transcendent. Speaks to all times and to all people. When you dwell on it well, you're going to have messages that do that, sermons that do that.
Why did he put such a strong emphasis on the means of grace?
Because he was Lutheran. Because Scripture does. He is unabashedly Lutheran. He had tried, you know, all the other things. He grew up an atheist, had been baptized when he was a kid, but you know, for all intents and purposes, was an atheist, went through pietism, saw through that sort of thing, and just understood that the sacraments are the gospel. That finally, you know, Christians live by the sacraments, and when you're not partaking of them, you're dying. He talks about the, in one of his essays, I think it's in The Hammer for God, which is a bunch of essays that me and some friends translated on him. He talks about the spiritual life and how you can tell, you know, you take the symptoms of a person that's living and they're on their deathbed or whatever, you take their pulse, you hold a mirror over their mouth to see if they have any breath in them, these sorts of things. And he talks about you know, in the spiritual life of a Christian, when you don't see them praying, when they're not praying, when they're not taking the sacrament, when they don't go and hear the word, when they're not in devotion, you know, it's not that they're dead necessarily, but their life is being hampered by that. You know, that these are the lifelines of the Christian faith. You grow in these things. And your faith and love for God and for neighbor, they grow through the use of these things.
There's a term that's often used for Bishop Yurtz, and it's often used generally for the pastoral office, Seelsorger. What does it mean, and why does it apply especially to the theology, the application of that pastoral theology in his case?
Well, Seelsorger, the German word, the Swedish has the same, it's Seelsorger. It means to worry for souls. English curate might have something to do with the same thing, but to worry for souls. And that's what a pastor does. He worries for other people's souls. You care for them. It might be a better word for it, but you're just trying to care for other people and their spiritual life and their souls. And you do this by preaching God's word and administering the sacraments. And those two things go together. They can't be separated, especially in the way Bo Geertz sees it. And here, you know, in these, he's concerned for the souls of his pastors that are out there. So that they come out just warm-hearted. And I think that's, you know, it tends to be what people see when they hear Seelsorger. That tends to conjure up an image of a man who is tender. He cares. He's not just all in it for himself, but he's going to take time to listen to his sheep. He's going to take time to hear their burdens, to work with them, to try to carry those loads with them. You see that in all these sermons that he's addressing to his pastors. You know, these things, they're ordination sermons, but like I said, he's dealing with his whole cadre of pastors that are there, and he's addressing concerns that all of them have.
What does it say about us today, thinking about our context, Pastor Erickson, that very often an ordination sermon doesn't sound anything like the ones I read in this book from Bo Geertz?
You know, I haven't been to too many ordinations myself. Utah, we don't have very many parishes, but it says that we're losing sight. You know, here's a guy who writes some warm-hearted ordination sermons. He's addressing guys with the gospel that need to hear it. And the congregation also needs to hear, you know, what the pastors are up against. I think that's where, you know, perhaps you get ordination sermons that are maybe too focused on the pastoral office, not taking into account the congregations that are going there. You get these stories of the guy's life, trying to sell the man or whatnot. And here, Bo Geertz is just saying, you know, this is the office that you're going into, and this is what it's going to mean to you. This is what's going to be ahead of you. But here is why it's so important, and here is why it's so great, and here is why it's so wonderful, despite all the hardships that come along with being a pastor. Here is why it is so wonderful to be a pastor in God's church, because God is taking care of you. It really inspires a man to go back and do the work of being a pastor in all of it.
Before we let you go, Pastor Erickson, read it for us, one of your favorite excerpts from this new book, Then Fell the Lord's Fire.
Yeah, I think my favorite one is that first one that's in this book, the Then Fell the Lord's Fire. I think maybe just the last paragraph of it, it says, until the end the Lord's fire falls, maybe not so that it flares and burns in the whole congregation. It may only be a little here and a little there. Individual people who wake up, worried souls that open themselves, new communicants who dare to come to the Lord's table and remain there. If God's servant stands a test, if he stays as a witness, even if he thinks he stands alone, if he patiently suffers persecution and disgrace, if he lets himself be disciplined and straightened out, if he continues to sow the word faithful and honestly, then he shall also see the Lord's fire fall from heaven, maybe where he least expected it. For his gifts of grace and his calling are from God. He cannot repent of either the gifts of grace or the calling he bestows upon you today, who will now be ordained into the holy pastoral office. For so says the Lord, go out where I send you, and then speak what I ask you. Fear not for them, for I am with you and will help you. And it is the Lord who is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Amen.
Pastor Bror Eriksson is pastor of First Lutheran Church in Tooele, Utah, and he's author of the new book, Then Fell the Lord's Fire, New Life in Ministry. Folks, you can find out more about Then Fell the Lord's Fire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Eriksson, thanks for being our guest.
It was a great time. Thank you.
You know what the church ought to be praying for right now when we hear these great faithful words from a bishop of the 20th century? We ought to be praying for bishops like this in the church in the 21st century, who are the carers of souls, who care for the souls of the sheep that God has entrusted to him. The church always ought to be praying for bishops like that. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Luke chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. John the Baptist prepares the way. Pastor Bruce Kazeman and Joel Baisley will join us for a pastor's roundtable, and we'll talk to Pastor Tom Baker about the birth of Jesus foretold. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.